Hello, welcome back to the show. This is Rated 5 Stars on iTunes by Elon Musk 420. He says, I think this podcast has given me diabetes, but I'm still living. I'm joined today by my co-host, Toby.
Hi, I'm Toby.
And Swagger 2.
Hi, it's me.
Also, on the show is Mason.
Me. Hey.
And Jay.
Hello.
And Matt.
What a do.
Today, we're gonna spend some time talking about stuff.
Stuff!
That doesn't really matter.
Yeah!
In the world.
Skur, skur!
Alright, that's enough.
Hello.
Hello, g'day, boys and girls, folks and friends.
Interesting?
Yeah, it was an interesting start, wasn't it? Bit you didn't know I could play the ukulele.
Bit unique.
No other podcast has done that before.
No one ever. Mm-hmm.
We're the most original podcast.
Yeah,
the most OG podcast.
I'd say we're like if anyone was looking for the official original podcast, that would say us.
I would call us the official podcast.
We're, we're pretty much the official
we're
podcast.
We're officially the most original podcast.
That's right.
Officially original. I like the
no
podcast.
No one's doing it like we're doing it. No one is as open as us.
No one's talking about masturbating.
No. Mm-mm. No one does it.
Nope.
No.
Masturbating, who does that?
Exactly.
Not me.
That's for sinners.
I don't.
All the other podcasts are run by Christians that don't masturbate.
That's right. On God.
On God!
On God, motherfuckers. What's going on this week, boys? What's been happening?
I bought a car yesterday.
He bought a car yesterday.
Bought a car.
It's a car that goes fast.
Does it go? Oh, it goes from.
What kind of car is it?
I bought a Volkswagen Golf R.
Volkswagen.
Ah, stands for really, really fast. It stands for retard. It's got a helmet and padding all over the sides just in case you hit your head.
No way.
So it's full retard proof.
No, I assume the R stands for racing or something.
Racist.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The golf racist. Golf racist.
The VW racist.
I mean, it is out of Germany, so it's German made.
It is a German car.
Oh my God.
It's all making sense now.
This is questionable. No, but I bought a car yesterday. It was fun.
Do you love it?
I love it. Well, I'm in love with it.
In love with
what actually happened was I went over to Ryan's house yesterday to have a business meeting.
Okay.
We had a call in regards to my new second channel. And after that was done, Ryan's like, hey, I sent you some money. Has it arrived? I look at my bank account. I'm like, yes, Ryan, that has arrived. And cool. He goes, do you want to buy a car? And I was like, what? Right now? And he just goes, yeah, you want to buy a car? So we bought a car.
Of course it was Ryan's idea. Ryan is the beginning of all irresponsible financial decisions.
But no, I love my car. It's fast. It sounds good. And it's got a sunroof.
What everyone's wondering, we all know it's fast. Is it furious?
Oh, not quite. I'm not rich enough for furious and fast. I have to choose one or the other.
Okay. Well, call me when it's wrap yourself around a tree furious, because...
Oh, jeez.
Wasn't it a telephone pole?
I don't care.
Jesus Christ.
You just pissed off so many people.
I don't care.
The gaming community and the car community, they're very... There's a lot of crossover there. You've made a lot of people mad there, Fitz.
Long story short, Paul can't walk.
He's dead.
He's gonna have to be walking from now on. He hasn't got a car.
God bless his soul. Mm.
Jesus, you don't have wheelchairs in heaven?
Wheelchairs in heaven.
Can you even get up there? They call it the stairway to heaven, right? So is he just stuck at the bottom? Yeah. Is there an elevator?
Is there an elevator?
Is there handicap access for? Is heaven handicapped?
No, because handicapped people are sinners
by default.
They automatically go to hell.
How does that work?
Like a poor little crippled
God
boy.
God doesn't like them. God's like, you've got something
you're fucking
wrong
weak.
With
get the fuck out of here.
You're fucking odd, mate. Yeah, you can't come in here.
You've got
what if God, like the gates of heaven is actually like a bouncer club? Or there's like a bouncer on the outside. It's like, no, get the fuck out of here, you fucking loser. You got polio. I don't give a fuck.
Your ID's obviously fake, mate.
You've been suffering in bed for like months. You finally die. You go to the pearly gates. And the guy's like, you got ID, mate? You're like, I needed ID. To get into heaven.
Dude, no, can I come back in like five days? My friend makes really good face.
Yeah, I promise. Doesn't work like that, buddy. You're going to hell.
Yeah. Big bouncer.
Yeah. What do you guys think heaven's like?
Pretty gangster.
You reckon?
Unlimited blowjobs.
You reckon?
Okay, epic.
What else?
I reckon, you know how like sometimes when you really need to pee and then you pee and it feels really good and it's like a big relief.
Ugh.
Heaven's like that, but all the time.
Damn.
You're just constantly Whoa. Peeing.
Yeah.
Just constantly peeing.
And hell is like jacking off when you need to pee really bad.
Yeah, hell jacking is like jacking off when like you need to pee really bad, but you never finish.
Yeah.
What if, God.
What if hell?
Mason's eyes just lit up like, oh, fuck.
Oh, that's my
fuck, What if hell is just like a YouTube poop of your entire life?
Oh, YouTube what?
What a YouTube poop.
What is a YouTube poop?
Do you know what a YouTube poop is?
Oh my God.
Don't raise your voice at me.
Are you kidding me? You know what a YouTube poop is?
No.
Oh my God.
Like those are classic. Those are like the first OG shit.
What the fuck is a YouTube poop?
Oh my God.
Dude, like really YouTube like shitty montages they make of like shows and shit.
YouTube needs to defecate.
It's going like way back, like 2006, 2007, where people would take just like episodes of anything and just fucking like remix them and just make just weird, crazy edits with like SpongeBob, make them say like different shit and completely change.
Oh, yeah,
the
you
context.
See King of the Hill YouTube
yeah,
poops?
Yeah, yeah.
Those were so good. Those are the best.
No, nothing King of the Hill related is ever good.
Well, the YouTube poops were so.
It shows
the quality of the show.
It's such trash.
It's an American show.
My dad once sat me down and said, son, the character who I most identify with in a TV show is Hank Hill. And I said, that's fucking great, Dad.
So were you Bobby Hill?
No, I don't think I'm Bobby.
My dad.
I don't think I'm Bobby. Bobby,
Megan, boy, why not tell you about playing them damn video games?
What car?
That was the worst impression ever. Yeah. That was so bad.
Welcome back to Matt's Impressions.
Here's Obama.
Hey, I'm Obama.
Mason, speaking of sexual things.
We never found out what a YouTube poop was. Did you finish?
Well, yeah, he just
said.
Yeah, oh, I can't explain to you a YouTube.
You just have to experience
that you've
it.
You've fucking
like,
seen it before.
Okay.
Just an OG.
They're like the original shit posts of YouTube.
Okay.
Mason.
What's up?
You had something you wanted to share on the podcast.
At least you said you wanted
to share about 30 minutes ago. Maybe you've changed your mind now that we're live on the air.
Wait, what happened?
The dream, mate.
You had a little dream lately.
You had a nice little dream.
Let me get this. Okay. Oh, it's back to me.
All right.
Did you actually forget?
Let me get this not straight.
You forgot about our beautiful experience?
Okay, me and Toby had passionate sex.
Okay.
We got to clarify. I was not part of this. It was just Mason in his own dream fucking me.
Well, fucking is a bit far-fetched, Toby.
And I also want to say, he clarified that it was passionate sex.
Yeah.
It wasn't just normal sex. It was passionate.
You also said that Toby had titties.
Toby was doing all kinds of things.
Were they good things?
To this day, I don't know.
Well, to this day, it only happened like 2 days ago, but that's fine.
Do you want to hear the details?
Let's go for it.
Okay.
Let's just jump right into it.
On one very windy, cold, chilling night.
Ooh. This is getting epic.
Me, myself, in my bed, was asleep. And I had passionate sex with Toby.
Okay, cool. So let's talk about it. What do you think this dream means?
There must be
he
some...
wants to fuck
well,
Toby.
No, okay. We got to clarify. He said that I was morphing between man and woman.
It was back and forth, really.
Back and forth.
What did the morphing look like? Was it just...
He was on top of me and I was laying down.
Okay.
Arms behind the back. Don't know.
Wow.
Yep. I was very.
Wait, your arms were behind your back while you were laying down?
Or behind your head.
Were there like handcuffs involved?
Not in view. Okay. So
if it was fucking me, there was definitely handcuffs involved. Okay.
I was definitely pinned down of some sort.
Okay. Ooh.
It sounds like sex with me.
So was this consensual?
I don't know.
Whoa, that changes everything.
Toby, what the fuck?
Toby, you sleep raped this man?
Yeah, I mean. Who wouldn't?
Okay, anyway. So yeah, Toby was on top of me.
Of course.
He was very naked. I was also very naked.
How did I look? Be honest, I didn't look great, did I?
Exactly how you look now.
Beard and everything.
Exactly, everything. He was sliding on top of me.
Was it anal sex or vaginal?
I think it was wet dry humping.
He said it was very aggressive dry humping.
Yeah, but we were both very moist.
So let's be real. We didn't have sex.
No.
I couldn't tell if my dick was going in your ass or not.
So it was like, you know,
I haven't got to the bottom of that.
It's like when your sister comes in your room, she's like, okay, you can't put it in, but you know, whatever, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like that.
What the fuck?
He was on top and he was going back and forth on my dick and he had tits, mm-hmm. not pretty big.
Epic.
And he was just morphing constantly.
Like female tits, not man tits.
It was like a halfway point.
A halfway point.
Yeah,
were they like going in really like in and out or some shit when he's morphing?
Hairs on it?
No hairs on him.
I have some hairy titties.
You just morph back and forth into a woman.
Okay. Interesting. So I think we've had enough explicit details. How did you feel when you woke up after this dream?
I was like, did that happen and do I tell Toby?
And what'd you do?
And he did tell me.
I told Toby.
Did you tell him the same day or did you dwell on it?
Dwelled on it for a good day.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Molded over. Day. So what
makes you... Oh, okay. I thought you told me like straight after.
Nah.
Damn.
Definitely not.
You don't call me straight away. You leave.
He's like, man, I need a fucking cigarette after that one.
Yeah, that's it. It was stirring up there for a while.
Have you ever had a dream like this before?
No. Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
What was the other one?
So I fucked Toby in the ass this time.
Almost nightly, actually, yeah.
I've had dreams of having sex with... men.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not, I'm not gay.
Okay, you sound super gay right now.
Are you
that's
sure
something someone who's
me?
In I denial think, would say.
I don't know.
Do you want us to change the subject?
Yeah, Mason before the episode was like, I want to talk about the dream I had. I was like, really? He was like, yes. And I was like, you're going to regret this.
It was just morphing back into a fucking woman and shit. It was fucked.
Yeah, I mean, I was morphing back into a woman. So clearly the man's straight.
Well, I mean, he said he wanted to be an airbender. So you're clearly the gender bender in that situation. Just morphing back and forth.
Yeah,
I think we figured this out. We're onto something here.
I what?
You corrupted me of some sort.
Do you think I roofied you?
No.
Was this a date rape?
I think maybe it wasn't a dream and it was just like you were under the influence of a roofie.
Oh, shit.
Wait, what?
Wait, Toby's something's just coming back.
Toby's like, yeah, I just realized what I was suggesting.
He's got something coming back to him.
No, it must have been real because I know this sounds crazy.
Because I have explicit memory of having sex with Mason.
I asked her really badly when I woke up that morning.
I know this sounds crazy, but I actually don't have the ability to morph between man and woman.
Are you really?
Kidding? I know.
I thought everyone had that.
Kidding,
you
right?
You got the latest update?
I was about to say defamation.
Okay.
I meant I have a deformity where I can't morph.
I think you turn bald when you're a woman.
I turned bald
so
when
you
I was a woman.
Your hair and then
see,
you got it back.
That's possible because I think women with short hair can be pretty attractive.
I think bald women are very attractive.
The most I would go.
Mason, I had so much eye contact just then. It got uncomfortable.
I want a bitch to look like Steve Jobs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm sorry,
the
hair's
getting
that.
The best of me, boys.
Look, fair enough. I mean, let's be honest, we've all had our fair share of sexual dreams
about Toby.
Toby. Yes.
Yeah. So, let's be real, even I have.
Yeah, you know, so I don't think you're gay. Ish.
And new subject.
And when it comes to wet dreams, huh?
Have you ever had a wet dream?
Yes, but here's the thing: every time I've had
I thought you said you hadn't.
I've had sexual dreams. I've had dreams where I'm fucking somebody, or mm-hmm. there's a lot of foreplay. It's all women usually, and whenever it becomes somewhat, whenever it becomes somewhat gay, but, something in my brain goes off, and I go, oh, I'm away.
But it has been gay.
It's led into some gay shit before, but I just wake up
but
before that goes anywhere.
Well, that's what normally happens. You wake up when the good part's about to happen in a dream.
It's like, oh, damn it. But anytime I have one of those sexual dreams, like I always wake up, like I never ejaculate due to a wet dream. I've never
so
ejaculated.
Then you haven't had a wet dream then. That's the point of a wet dream is
like
ejaculating
I've woken,
in your sleep.
I've woken up and, you know, my dick would leak. Like,
I've woken up,
you know,
a little Uzi vert
over those pants. But, you know, usually the extent of it nowadays is when I have a sexual dream, I just wake up, I go to the bathroom, I start my shower, and then I just pinch the base of my cock and then like do like a go-gurt
look,
thing.
This is...
That's because you're a fucking 30-year-old man. Of course you would do that.
Dude, you have to clear your cock every morning.
You know, it's called taking a piss. It's called just taking a piss when you wake up.
Pause. I don't know what's going on.
Are you changing the channel, please?
The pipe cleaner just...
I need to check my furnace.
Swagger gets out like a pipe cleaner. He's like fucking.
It's the only way to do it, man.
Disgusting. Don't cleaning, even suggest that. I feel that.
The only thing you need
please
to do.
Please don't actually attempt that to anyone that heard that.
Yeah, don't put a pipe cleaner in your urethra. All right, guys?
I've never had a wet dream in all my days.
You've never had a.
Fuck off.
I haven't either.
Never.
What's wrong with you?
No, I just jack off way too much.
That's probably part of it. You know, I have found that, you know, if you do jack off semi-regularly, you, like, never have a wet dream.
That's what wet dreams are. Wet dreams happen when you're so horny that it's like, you know, I'm getting this out somehow.
Yeah. I think it's like when the sperm like hits like a certain age or something, then it's just like, fuck it.
Age 3 years old.
All of my dreams are wet.
I've woken up with my thighs stuck together.
Oh,
no way.
Yeah.
And then when you rip them apart, was it like getting a wax?
This is beyond anything we should be discussing on the podcast, okay?
It's not our first rodeo with this shit. Who cares?
It's been bad before, but this is probably the worst.
We're getting real deep.
Let's be completely honest. And we're also like testing out our cameras. We won't be releasing this video, I doubt, but we're testing out the cameras, so we should.
This will be for memory's sake.
This podcast won't even go out. Let's be completely honest. What else has been going on in the world of us?
Has anything been going on?
Not really. Our friend Peckett's birthday happened yesterday.
How was that?
It was really good. We got really drunk.
I didn't come because I don't love him.
We tested out manager Ryan's hot tub. Just got himself a hot tub. It's cool. Fucking lit.
It was hot and a tub.
Oh, no way.
Are you serious?
So fucking dumb.
Damn.
That's about it.
Cool.
Okay, we have something to announce.
Oh, yes.
That's kind of cool. Pretty cool. We have officially partnered up with GamerSups, which for anyone who has been watching my streams for a long period of time, knows I've been drinking GamerSups every day for about 5 months. And I am 10 times hairier, and I do morph into a woman every now and again. But other than that, no side effects.
I reckon GamerSups have actually been the thing that's causing those sexual dreams, Mason. It's giving you fever dreams.
Okay, we need to stop shit-talking GamerSups.
It's not shit-talking. It's fantastic.
That's encouraging.
It's the best.
I'm not going to lie. GamerSups has side effects. I've been doing 2 scoops of the Acai blueberry flavor.
Acai? Whatever.
Acai blueberry. I don't fucking know. It's a foreign word. I speak English.
Asahi.
All right, Captain America. Go on.
Goddamn right. I would put 2 scoops in. I have my daily GamerSups. And what I've noticed for like the last 3 months is that my penis size has increased by at least like, I measured like 63.5%. The girth
is
well.
Users may find different results.
Actually noticed that whenever I drink GamerSups in public, I am swarmed with extremely attractive supermodels.
Yes, most of them male, unfortunately.
But still, I mean.
Like, yeah, I still like the GamerSups too. Is this even good? This isn't a good representation.
No.
Okay, so I just want to say.
Guys, it's a tasty drink.
GamerSups is a delicious drink.
Gives you energy.
It's a powdered beverage, so you just put 2 scoops of powder into a shaker cup with water. You drink it. It gives you energy. It tastes good. And we've been using it for ages. Yeah. And we still use it because we still love it.
Yeah. It's really good to drink before recording. It gets you in the right mindset. You're funnier. You know, you got the energy.
It's like liquid crack.
Yeah, basically.
If you want to try it out, go to GamerSups.com and use code Misfit.
I drank 2 full cups, shaker cups, before this podcast.
Jeez.
My hands are literally completely still because the side effects aren't that noticeable in terms of handshaking. I don't know. Cut that
all
out.
The side effects.
Is this supposed to be an ad or are we just talking about GamerSups?
No, we're just announcing that we're partnered
with. We'll cut out like half of what we just said. But anyway, it's a good drink.
I mean, we're not under any contract either. We can say whatever we want.
Oh, fuck.
We all hate GamerSups. Anyway, we're partnered with GamerSups. It's great. Use code Misfits.
That's right. Do you think we should talk about our school finally?
We can do that. I think the best way to talk about it, as you said, is to have these guys ask us questions about our school. Because it's such a hard thing to explain.
We're probably not even going to get it across properly in this podcast. For those of you who don't know, a few episodes ago, maybe 3 episodes, I randomly brought up the fact that me and Toby went to an a strange school, to put it lightly.
People have been asking for it.
Yeah, people want to know what it's all about. We've just been distracted with other stories. And I'm sure you guys are partially curious as well.
I want to know if you have like steel claws or something.
Just to be clear, as a disclaimer before we start talking about it, this was not a school for like mentally challenged or special kids.
That was the first thing I was going to ask.
Basically, we're going to explain it, and it's going to sound like a school for either like gifted people or people that need special attention.
Yeah.
And it was neither of those. It was literally just a weird school.
It really wasn't. Yeah, it was more just like a kind of startup project that was just begun by people who weren't happy with how their kids were being treated in the school system.
And they wanted to change it.
And they wanted to change it and take some action. So it was more like just a small community school. But have any questions right off the bat?
When did you go in for your first period? When did you have to wake up? And then when did it start?
Okay, so I didn't get my first period till I was 12. no, I'm kidding.
No, we didn't have periods.
Yes.
We would go to school at 9?
Look, school kind of work officially started at 10.
We didn't really just go.
But there was no, basically you had zero obligation to show up on time at all.
Shit.
It was your responsibility to get to school and to do your work.
That was kind of one of the underlying things of the school. It was your responsibility.
It's like, look, you can, I mean, obviously there was some, like basically what would happen is you have a set amount of work that you need to be doing and accomplishing. Every couple of weeks they would check in on you and be like, yo, how you doing? Like, are you falling behind? If it gets too bad, then they'll get the parents involved and, you know, obviously they keep you on track.
Right.
But other than that, like at least from age like 16, when you're doing your university entrance, what would you call it? Like studies, internal exams, things like that.
Like the qualifications that are like nationally known.
Trying to get your university qualification.
Like the SAT.
It's your responsibility. Like that, it's your job to do the work. And if you don't do it, like you're only screwing your own life up. You know, that was the
way,
mentality.
The way you describe it almost sounds like the Montessori schools that they have in the US, where it's like they don't really have like classes you go to for each subject. You just kind of show up in like one classroom and go to whatever station, kind of just like do whatever you want pretty
much. What'd you call them?
I think Montessori schools.
Montessori?
Something like Montessori? That, I think. Montessori? Do you ever hear of them like that?
No. I went to a public school.
Yeah, same. So, I went to a private school, then a public school. But
a really good way to explain it is the way it started. This is the way I believe it started.
Yeah.
It was a while ago that I heard the story, so I could, you know, get bits of it wrong. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure the principal, she was homeschooling her son. And there were some like parents that knew this woman and was like, hey, would you mind looking after our kids while we're at work and stuff, because they didn't want to put them in school or something. And then, you know, during that time, the principal decided, she wasn't principal at this time, but she decided to teach them to read and stuff like that, and she just sort of started teaching them stuff.
Yeah, these were young kids,
and it kind of grew into a school that way.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was more like a bunch of
like a big homeschool.
Yeah, like it started out as homeschool, and then it was like, well, we don't want our kids to be socially stunted, which often happens with homeschool because you're sheltered and you're not getting enough interaction. So it was like, well, why don't we team up with other parents who also want to pull their kids out of school, and we kind of like make a like little communal thing.
So what was the facility where the school was taught? Was it like school with a building?
It started in like her house, and then eventually they bought a building, which was basically like, I guess it's like a small schoolhouse with a big field. I think there was like a cottage out in the field. Like,
we weren't there when it was at that place.
Yeah, we weren't there. We moved.
We've heard about it.
Yeah,
we've only heard. It was crazy.
Right.
Yeah, like we're not going to get all the facts completely right here, but we're just describing it from our perspective. But when we went, it was in an office building.
Mm.
But it started out kind of like in more of a like a house with a field.
Right.
So when I first went there, basically I just hated school. I was doing really badly in school. I hated like life at the school.
Yeah.
And my parents were like looking for other options. And we came across this place online, and we went to go have an interview there. So you go into this lift in this office building. It was actually the the New Zealand Mint, that makes gold and stuff. And when you go into this building, you go up a few floors, and you arrive in this cage kind of thing. It was like a cage to stop the kids from going in the elevator.
Okay.
And then you go in, they let you in, and you walk into this room, sit down at a couch, and I started this interview with the principal. But while I was having this interview, because of the way the school worked, it was just this entire office building that was fully open with a bunch of kids doing different things at different places.
And a bunch of like designated areas for different things.
Yeah, there was like a Lego area.
We should specify that there were kids of all ages at the school. From like
4 till 20.
Yeah, like the youngest kid was 4. That was rare though to have a 4-year-old.
And you're not actually meant to be in school at 4, but some parents were just like, I really want him to start now.
And there were only about at a maximum like 50 kids like enrolled at the school
were
at the time.
Kids as in children or
all ages?
Total population.
Total population was 50. Like 50? Yeah.
And Jesus. Over like, and teenagers and up, it was probably like 15.
Yeah, my school had 2,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, the schools I went to before then were like that, yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, like to be clear, you know, we both went to a normal primary school or elementary school, as you say in America, and like I went right after kind of middle school, I guess, and you probably went around the same time, right?
What? Yeah, it was, I finished middle school, went to another school that was like super artsy, and I thought I was going to love it. I hated it. The principal hated me, and she was like, hey, if you don't, you know, buck up your act, we're going to kick you out of the school.
Oh,
which was actually like her trying to scare me into working better.
Yeah.
But me being me, I was like, cool, I'm leaving then. And then we went to this place.
So, yeah.
It was right after middle school for me as well.
Yeah. And there was a mix of, so some kids obviously would be there since they were very young to when they were very old. And some kids would just kind of come in when they were, you know, you could come in at all ages. Some kids came in when they were 8. Some kids came in when they were 12.
I mean, there were even people that came when they were like 16.
Yeah. Although they tended to find it harder to adjust when they were older. Because obviously like, when you're 16, you're going right into your university qualifications.
Right.
You don't kind of have the, I guess, like social integration that came at the earlier ages.
So what age were you two when you guys?
So right after middle. So I was 14.
14, 15?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you acted up there, how would you be reprimanded?
I mean, no one really acted up.
So, the thing about a regular school, right, is that there's so many kids that if you act up, their only real option is to discipline you via like detention or some other form of punishment. Here, it's a small community. So imagine, let's say hypothetically, for an example, you're in a small village. If you piss off people in the village, it's not going to go very well for you. Like you're going to get socially outcasted pretty quick.
Yeah. Right.
So what happened was like, let's say you act up where some trouble happens. Normally, like either a kid would tell one of the adults at the school or you just have to work it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But normally like if it was bad, or you were like not doing your work, or you were being, you know, a nuisance, there was just no time for that. Like, why would they want to keep a kid like that around? Like, either it's like you clean your act up, or you get the fuck out
of
the school.
So, was there ever like any fights or anything like that? There's like never any, never.
No,
really?
There was zero bullying at the school.
Peaceful little community.
Peaceful community.
Were the teachers like qualified?
They weren't teachers, but
they were qualified.
They were. We called them adults.
Yeah.
So there was just there were a bunch of adults that were qualified in different subjects.
Yeah.
And generally throughout the day, they were just, you know, like talking with the other adults, and they were there if you needed them.
Yeah.
But most of the time you just didn't need them.
Most of them used to be teachers because obviously they studied and got the qualification, but they too were dissatisfied with the public school system. And so they were looking for other options and they found this place.
So like we would go to school and if we went to go do our work, there was a little section where the little kids weren't allowed to go.
Yeah.
And the older kids would do their work there. We each had desks and stuff.
Yeah.
And we would get given a bunch of like pamphlet thingies or folders from the correspondence school, which is like the homeschooling thing.
Yeah.
And you just get sent these folders, you'd do all the work that you had to do, and then they'd send it to the correspondence school and you'd get your...
Yeah, where qualified teachers that work for the government would review your work and make sure that you're not just bullshitting your way into university, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
and
I mean,
all of the older kids were trying to get something called UE, which is university entrance, which means that you're automatically qualified to get into any university in the country.
Right? Yeah, I was going to ask, how does that work, like getting universities in like New Zealand? Because in the US, you have to take like, it's pretty like black and white. You have to take like the SAT, you get your scores.
There's multiple different ways.
You just apply to like each college individually.
Yeah, I actually got that slightly wrong. So UE is university entrance, which means you have to apply, which is what most public schools did in New Zealand. So like they would, you know, you'd complete all your NCEA or Cambridge, and then you would have to apply to universities.
Mm-hmm.
But like what most of the kids here did was automatic entry, which means like you do another 100 credits and then you like they don't have an option to.
So you just get in, like if you just do like a little extra credit or whatever, you'll just get into like any university of your choice.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Uh-huh. Holy shit.
And because of how it worked and you just got given the amount of stuff that you could do, it wasn't like, all right, at 3 o'clock I have math, at 5 o'clock, whatever time it was, you had this subject, that subject. It was like, all right, you have all this stuff to get done by the end of whatever. and you just say, all right, for this entire week, I'm going to focus entirely on English or something. Yeah. All your English done.
Literally, we would spend whole terms focusing on one subject.
Really?
Like writing essays for history.
Mean that like where in a normal school, you would say like, all right, we did first year English, then second year, the next year, then third year, the next.
Yeah.
You could do all of it in 1 year.
I kind of like that. It kind of like teaches you at a young age, like how to like budget your time for like individual things.
It made going to university so like easy because you're already so used to managing your time and getting your work done on your own clock.
One crazy thing that a lot of people in New Zealand, when you told them about it, thought was absolutely insane is the school didn't believe in exams. Or tests. Do you call them exams in America?
Tests.
Usually, tests.
So, you know, it'd be like at the end of each term or whatever, you have a bunch of big exams or tests to, you know, get your qualification. For us, it was like they didn't believe in the exams. They thought that sitting a bunch of kids down to do something, like to talk about everything they learned throughout the year in one sitting was ridiculous. And you got all of your credits, the credits of what you need to get into uni, through internals, which is just, you know, doing work at school.
Yeah, we had some classes like that.
Yeah, so most of it was all essays or, like, assessments, basically.
Much like at the public school I went to, we had those things. We could get all of our credits we needed for uni and, like, through internals, but, like, exams were just for clout. Like, if you pass them, then
like exam.
Did you see Billy? He fucking passed his exam. Holy shit.
Exams.
But he has AirPods too.
Yeah. Some kids like find exams better and the exams do have their benefits.
Yeah.
But like the general philosophy was like, just do it via essays. And because it's more important to learn how to like write an essay than it is to memorize your shit and study before a test.
Yeah. In their opinion. That's all I do. I won't even like pay attention in class. Just show up for the test and like study for a bit.
Memorize,
just didn't learn anything.
Barf the right answers out of the page.
Yeah.
Once you get your A, completely disregard all of the information.
Pull the fucking toilet plunger.
And relearn it again the next year. That was the most frustrating part about fucking high school is that I'd go into science, I'd learn all about the electromagnetic spectrum, I'd know everything, and then the next year, we're going to teach you about the electromagnetic spectrum because you obviously forgot it from last year.
Yeah.
It's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, I found that really frustrating as well. And like exams did not agree with me when I was at regular school. It was just like so frustrating. I was so frustrated with all my classes and stuff, which is a big part of the reason why I pulled out and went to this place. When my mom like told me that I should give this place a try, because she heard about it through a friend, she was like, look, just go in for an interview, just see if you like it. I was like, she was describing it to me like even worse than I am to you now, and I was like, what the fuck is this hippie shit?
It's so hard to explain.
I was like she was describing it like kids like
it's
in
a community
meadow.
It's a village, y'all just love each other.
I was like, this is ridiculous, but whatever, I'll go in. And like from the first day, I was like, I don't know, I was real. The principal, who wasn't really called a principal, we just called her by her name,
that run it,
which we won't say. I was just so impressed with it. I was like, holy shit, like, you know, this actually might be something that works for me.
The principal taught us, like, I mean, what the major thing that I learned from the school was like so many life skills.
Yeah.
And
social
like
skills.
I learned so much about myself and like social skills,
You get to interact with people of all ages, which is great, because you could be a 16-year-old and there's a 4-year-old that you can just play with.
Exactly. Play was a huge part of the philosophy of the school.
They believe in learning through play.
Yeah.
So most of the little kids didn't necessarily, like when they're really young, they didn't have necessarily actual formal education, but they would learn through play. Yeah. And then when they got to a certain age, they would start doing
socializing.
It was like when your age is 4 to 6, you pretty much just play all day.
Yeah.
And there's lots of cool shit to play with and there's other kids to interact
and
with.
It was, a lot of it was like stuff that you genuinely do learn a lot of things from playing with, like
so
Lego
The play circuit is so important to develop as a kid. And then when they reach age 6, obviously they learn things like how to read, how to spell, they do their phonics, you know.
The socializing is probably the most important part of growing up and learning and you know, being attentive. And
100%. These kids were fucking like onto it socially because of this. It was impressive. It was like when you were playing with like a kid, you know, and
you're like, roughhouse with them.
Yeah, it's like holy shit, like you were really like
part of it.
Yeah. That's kind of weird you talk about that, how you like you can interact with like everyone of different ages. I noticed in like the US, it's like almost like tiered by each grade level. Like if you're in like middle school, like if you're like seventh grader, you're like, oh, you can shit talk all the dumb sixth graders and shit like that. And then when you're in eighth grade, you're like, ooh, I'm hot shit. I'm the oldest one here. And then you go into high school. You're the new freshman. It's all started like ground zero again.
It's all very tribal.
It's very like layered in the US.
At this school, you had six-year-olds that were confident enough to go up to a 17-year-old and have a conversation with
them. Really? That's crazy. Yeah, you never see shit like that.
It was crazy.
And you would notice a very big difference between the kids that were like went from age 5 to like 16 in the school to kids that came in from 16. Like the way that they interacted with others and the way that they kind of like were just present in conversation was such a, I don't know, it was so different to like a kid that had been through the traditional school system.
Yeah, and the other thing was on the other side of the spectrum, you had these adults who had heaps of life experience that you could just sit down and talk to for hours.
Yeah. Have a conversation.
You know, and learn so much from them. And it, like, you don't really get that in school.
Yeah, well, a lot of my teachers were jaded, really fucking jaded people. This one chemistry teacher, oh my God, he was a doctor.
Those are always the worst.
Before you get into the story, we have an ad which we were supposed to do probably about 5 minutes ago. Toby.
Okay. Well, you know what I love, Fitz?
What's that, man?
I love couches because I'm extremely lazy and I love sitting down.
Who doesn't?
I love being comfortable when I sit. You know, I like to sit in a couch that has been perfectly designed to be the average height from a person's knee to their foot so that I'm perfectly comfortable.
Comfort is what I meant to say.
So that I'm perfectly comfortable at all times.
Of course.
That's why, Fitz, I love Burrow.
Burrow?
Burrow.
Burrow.
Yeah.
Burrow.
Yeah. Burrow? Have you guys heard of Burrow?
I think we've heard of them before.
Yeah, of course you've heard of them. Burrow is a fantastic service that hand makes couches in America, all made in America, beautiful quality, fantastic quality, and they stand by their quality so much that they have a guarantee where you can send it back.
Really?
Yeah, they sounds crazy.
So if you
right?
don't like it, you can send it back.
Do you like stick it in the mailbox, or how's that going to work?
Yeah,
though?
You just shove it in the mailbox, no problem.
Now, these sofas from Burrow are scratch and stain resistant, Fitz. Do you spill some shit? You scratch it? You got a cat? Anyone got a cat? Yeah. I mean, we all live in a house together, so I know we don't have a cat.
I have 12 cats.
Fitz has 12 cats. He's crazy. They probably tear up your furniture, don't they?
All the time.
Scratch resistant.
Fuck off.
And you know what I love when I'm sitting on my scratch and stain resistant Burrow sofa?
What's that, Toby?
I love that I can sit there and charge my phone with the USB ports that are built in.
Oh my God, that's actually so useful.
That means I can charge my vape.
It's so useful, right? Yeah. So
why don't all
useful?
Sofas just have that? Burrow is ahead of the curve.
Ahead of the curve. Buy one today.
Built-in dual
chargers. And if you want to buy one today, Burrow is recently named one of the best inventions of 2018 by Time Magazine.
Whoa.
I know.
And I know that magazine.
That is a magazine that people know.
Oh my God.
I know.
Do they have the time?
Matt.
Oh, it's about time.
And you can get $75 off your award-winning Burrow sofa by visiting burrow.com/misfit. That's burrow.com/misfit, MISFIT, no S at the end.
Singular.
Singular.
Just the one misfit.
Got to be clear about that. to get $75 off your order, thanks again to Burrow for supporting the show.
Cheers, Burrow. You were saying, Swagger?
Oh, yeah.
About your chemistry teacher.
my fucking chemistry teacher in high school. Oh, man. He was overqualified, dude, straight out of like Breaking Bad tier. Overqualified doctorate in chemistry.
Was he like super old and shit?
He was maybe 50 to 60 years old. Gray hair, mustache. Guy was a genius.
Was he the one who knocks?
he was the most eccentric teacher I had, but he was just jaded. He had two kids that were in college that he paid for. His wife divorced him. He used to work in the private sector, so he used to make a fuck ton of money. And then something about the company politics, like there was a buildup of pressure in one of the vats that exploded, like almost, like killed people.
So wait, what was his job then?
Vats and shit. He was like working for a pharmaceutical company, I think. And what he was doing, he was doing the chemistry into making the product. And I think there was something about a pressure gauge and all the valves, and someone turned the wrong valve and it was just cooking and it was about to explode. And he wrote like this this huge email to a bunch of the higher ups about like that there needs to be a change in the company structure because it's not safe and it's just not a good working environment, and they fired him.
Really?
So then he had to go search for a job. His wife divorced him, took half of his shit.
Holy shit.
That's insane.
And then he became a fucking teacher at a high school. And he just relished in being a doctor. It just, if you said Mr., it's doctor. It's doctor. And you know, so he got to the point where he would not respond to Mr. like in any sense.
Right. I had an English teacher that did that. She had a doctorate in English.
Once they get that title,
and
it's like,
if you didn't call her
doctor,
it was like, you fucking piece of shit.
That's weird. I literally had a physics teacher. I'm not shitting you. Like pretty much the exact situation. He was
same.
When he was getting his master's or whatever, I don't know what it was, but he did a paper and it was like this insane, because I don't know anything about physics or something. I took it for like a year and failed. he had this insane like thing that he made, and because in universities they're like free to take whatever you like make.
Oh.
And he had something like insane and they just yoinked it. And
fucking universities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he ends up like his life goes on, da 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 da. And
drop out of college, guys.
Ended up divorcing him.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Took the kids.
Bitch.
And yeah.
Not the kids.
Just hated his job.
He should have been Tracer.
Yeah. Ugh. Maybe you should have been.
Should have picked Mercy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like teachers have it rough.
Yeah, man. They have a real at our school district, our teachers were operating without a contract for 6 months. And a guy, and this was like right after I graduated, there was a teacher walkout from our school, and it was like half the teachers walked, and so they had to wait like a week with like just this dysfunctional schooling, getting substitutes and shit, just to like keep it held over until they could negotiate a contract to bring it back on. But in America, they treat the teachers like dog shit.
It sucks because being a teacher is such a noble profession as well. And they just get shit on in almost every single culture.
Because they get shit on by their bosses. They get shit on by their fellow faculty. And the kids are a fucking nightmare.
And they make no money. Like,
It's like one of the lowest earning jobs in the U.S., I think. Jesus. Insane.
Yeah, I mean, because by the sounds of it, your school, like, there's not many disputes to settle because, you know, it's such a tight community. There's only 50 people.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make it, like, really exclusive then? Like, was the interview...
No. Okay.
Well, not many people wanted to take this risk.
Really? That was the thing.
Think of yourself as a parent and you go to this weird place with your child.
Mm.
It's
looks
expensive
like,
because it's private.
It feels like it could ruin your kid's life. Because, I mean, if it doesn't work, you're basically trusting them to, you know, successfully get your child through school.
Yeah, like it's a leap of faith. It really is, because when you walk in, like, it seems like chaos from the outside. Because like Toby said, you walk into a cage, like a chicken wire fence.
And you just see kids running around.
Kids are running around playing and stuff.
Look at all the free range kids running around enjoying
them.
We only have the best free range schools here.
It's a weird experience.
And also it wasn't that well known.
Yeah.
Sure.
It was mainly heard about through word of mouth. So like, parents who had their kids in the school would like recommend it to other parents.
Yeah, they didn't really advertise it.
There was no advertising for the school.
A lot of the policies in our public schools is ass backwards. They have the fucking zero tolerance bully policy,
so dumb.
Which is the biggest crock of shit ever.
What's that?
If a guy punches me in the face and I punch him back, we both get suspended.
No, it's not even that. If he punches you in the face and you don't swing him back, you get suspended too.
Like literally,
you don't even have to hit him.
Yeah, literally, it's the most ass backwards shit, dude. If I was the principal and two kids had an issue, boxing club, put on some gloves and go at it. Just go at it, and then you'll respect each other.
Okay. Funny you mentioned that.
We didn't quite have that policy at this school.
As soon as
he's boxing a four-year-old,
that should be the way to deal with disputes, especially in school.
I think you're a little bit off the rails there,
buddy. I think
if
people are mad at each other, they should fucking have a scrap, and then they end up respecting each other, and they become friends.
That's actually, believe it or not, that's actually how I got into how I got into wrestling before. Like, I originally got like sent to the principal's office.
Not wrestling.
Yeah, no. Well,
WWE.
I got in trouble for like some dumb thing or some shit like that, and like I like got in the principal's office. I'm like, fuck, here we go again. I'm gonna get like written up or some shit like that. And the principal, like, he was a cool dude. He just didn't give a shit about it. He's like, you should try joining wrestling club. I was like, okay.
Have you guys ever gotten into scraps? Have you guys ever gotten into a fight before?
A few times.
I told the story. Yeah,
told the bullying story.
I told the story on the podcast of when I got my
clocked.
Face punched in.
Jesus. What about you, Mason?
Nah, not really.
Never scrapped?
Nah.
That's hard to believe. I feel like you'd be a scrapper.
Mate, there's like four cunts that I killed.
Moving on.
But, I mean, the school was awesome. Yeah. I mean, I got there and I think I was probably 15, maybe 14. And the principal was like, you're not going to be able to just start because it's going to be such a culture shock for you, going to be such a strange thing to adjust to.
What was the transition?
Yeah, so when you first join the school, like your first couple weeks are just, you have nothing to do except socialize.
It was a few months for me, I think.
Really?
They were just like, you're not going to start work for a few months. We're going
to
wait.
Really? So just like socialize and get to know everyone first.
Because the thing is that when you're coming to a school like this at 15, like NCA doesn't start till you're 16, which is university qualification.
Right.
So NCA is basically like the nationwide education standard, I guess. Mm-hmm.
So like there's nothing really to do unless you want to like take up stuff on your own. Like you can do research. You can like, and there'll be things like viewings of documentaries and things stuff like that. Wow. But other than that, it's really just getting accustomed to how things work. And when you feel like you want to do some work, you just say, hey, like I want to do stuff, you know, which is normal because no one likes just doing nothing, you know.
And my first few months was basically just like whenever, you know, like when the guys weren't working, the older kids, I'd hang out with them.
Yeah.
But whenever they were doing their work, I would, you know, hang out with the little kids and read them stories and like build train sets with them and stuff. Oh. And it's just like, you know, fun. Yeah.
Wholesome shit, dude.
Especially, Jesus. I like love kids as well. So I just, it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But and then you kind of, I started into work and worked.
Yeah. I don't know. I the thing about the school is that no matter how many questions we answer, you're never going to have an accurate picture of what this place looked like.
Yeah. It's, I'm imagining a chicken coop right now.
Yeah. Like, but I promise you, like, it's equal parts as strange as you're imagining, but also very different to probably what you're imagining. Like it was normal in lots of ways. Like once you're in it, you're like, this is how it should be all the time. This makes sense. But when you're like first seeing it, you're like, what the fuck?
One thing I remember that I think you guys will love is there was a period of time where I was working on, I was doing an English thing. It was like a big English essay that I was working on for months. And the principal, she would help me with it. Mm. So I would write up a draft and then I would go out with her and I would sit on a step. She would smoke a cigarette and I would read it to her out loud.
Yeah.
And then as I was reading it out loud to her, she'd be like, did you hear what you just said there? And I'd be like, oh yeah, I should change that.
Holy
and it was just
shit.
This process where for months it would just be like, you know, every couple of days I would go out and make little alterations. While she was just sitting there smoking a cigarette and talking to me.
Fucking stupid. Like,
She was blunt.
Yeah.
She was very blunt. She was
smoking a blunt?
She was English and she was like, she was fucking good at like English and English literature. Like, that was what she majored. She knew her shit and she knew how to write a good essay. And essay writing was such a massive part of the education. And you know, transitioning into university, you have to write a lot of essays.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I had that experience.
Great for mental exercise too. Because if you're growing up learning how to write essays and learning how to formulate your thoughts and being able to back up your arguments and knowing, like, you know, having a grasp on the English language, it's just gonna fucking, like, you're just gonna be way fucking better.
Yeah. 100%.
And I actually, through an essay I was writing, she like changed my life. Mm. Like when I first started at the school, I was super like.
You were such an oddball when you first
started
like, to school.
I was like really suppressed, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I would always wear like a hat and like hide my face and stuff. Yeah. And it all kind of changed when I started writing this essay on happiness, and it was the most bullshit Tumblr crap that I wrote. Mm. And she was just like, this is ridiculous. This is crap. And through months of going back and forth with her, I developed this really cool essay about happiness that kind of made me completely change my life view on like how I should live and stuff. And it made me like a super happy person. And I really like came out of my shell.
Yeah. There were a lot of essays. Like, and not only that, but you also had to, at least some of the time you had to read these essays out to like an audience of people who wanted to listen. So it would be like an essay reading, like they'd be like, okay, like we're going to read some essays now. Some of the kids have done essays. Let's sit down and hear them. And then you had to fucking read your essay that you're like worked so hard on to all these people.
Yeah.
And like, you know, then they'll, you'll discuss it or whatever and all that kind of shit. And I don't know. Did you have to read that one out?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was, but I'm sure it was.
I don't know if you were still there when I finished it.
Oh, this is like later on?
Yeah. I mean, by the time I finished it, like that was a huge process. Mm. But yeah. I mean, Fitz and I, we became pretty good friends as well. Like we weren't huge friends until we started playing games together.
Yeah.
And then we sort of like became better friends in real life as well.
Yeah.
But like we used to, we used to improv songs and stuff. Like we'd sit on the couch and all the kids would like be around and Fitz would play guitar and we'd just like make up songs and stuff.
Ridiculous songs just on the spot. So yeah, like there was really the beginning of like improv comedy for, at least for me as well. I don't know if you did any before that.
But no, I didn't.
It was kind of like what got us started in terms of our comedic style, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it made us who we are in a few massive ways.
100%. When I went, I was so like introverted and so like suppressed from just having a shit time at school. And it took about a couple years of being there to realize like, oh, like I can actually say stuff in conversation and, you know, even if it's stupid, like it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? Cause I was always so terrified of like inputting anything cause I was worried that I would get rejected socially for what I was saying. And it took me like a while to get over that, but I got over it because of the way that the social dynamic worked at the school, which was just fucking pog. So yeah, I don't know. Crazy shit. I don't know. It's so odd talking about it because I feel like we're not doing it justice.
Yeah. In terms of as Fitz has said, there's like I feel like we could talk about this for like 10 hours and still you guys wouldn't really have an understanding of what it actually was.
When was lunch?
Okay, so here's an interesting thing. Lunch was roughly around 12, obviously when lunch kind of is. But if you were over the age of, was it 13, 14 maybe?
I think it was like, if you were 13, you could go out with older people.
Yeah.
But if you were like 14, 15, you could go out by yourself.
Yeah. So basically what you could do is you could sign out. So you would you would ask like one of the adults like, yo, I want to sign out, get some lunch.
Because the school was in the CBD.
In the city. So you'd sign out. You'd be like, I left at this time. And then you'd sign back in when you got back.
Right.
You just go and get a fucking
lunch. Oh, so you can like actually leave the campus or whatever. Yeah. Oh, shit.
And you can use the city facilities like the library and shit like that as well.
Oh, that's so
using this method. So like immediately, like from a very young age, you had that independence of being like, you know, these people trust me to go out on my own in the city, you know, and just fucking do what I want as a person with control of my life.
In a public school system, you're just coddled
and
watched over the entire time.
And it was right beside a public park.
Yeah. So
we would sign out at lunchtime and, you know, all the older kids would go to the public park and just hang out.
Yeah, play ultimate frisbee, shit like that.
There was always so much bullshit in public schools, like especially the teachers would tell you. I remember it was my first period going to my second period when I was in the seventh grade. Second period was English, first period was math. So we get done with math, I leave my folder for second period underneath my desk. And literally, the rooms are right next to each other. They are right next to each other. And so we go in, and it was to hand in our essays.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to my teacher, I'm like, oh, I forgot my folder, my essay's in it. It's in the room right next to us. Can I just run and grab it? And she's like, no.
Yeah.
I was like, yikes. I was like, why not? I was like, it's literally right there. They're not going to mind. I'll just run in and grab it. She goes, yeah, well, I'm preparing you for high school because in high school, they're not going to let you do that. In college, they're not going to let you do that. I'm like, what are you talking about?
That shit.
And you know what that bitch made me do? She'd made me go to the library and write an essay to my parents about why I wasn't fucking like, why I wasn't prepared.
Yeah.
And I wrote it, dude, so feverishly and so angrily.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, because she's going to look at it. So, you know, I was so mad. I wrote the first letter of every sentence spelled out, fuck you, and then the teacher's name. I was so angry. I showed it to all my friends. I was like, that stupid bitch didn't even notice. I was fucking heated.
Like one of the weirdest things that you noticed like once you left the public school system was, I can't believe I used to have to ask to go to the bathroom. I can't believe I used to have to like get permission to do something that's just like
trivial.
Something so trivial and so unimportant. Like they don't even trust you to go outside.
Oh, in my school, they had to like sign your name and everything and like, date it and everything when you went to the bathroom.
They fundamentally like don't trust you to do things that like anyone that age should be able to do it on their own.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I mean, fair enough. Like when you're dealing with that volume of kids,
right,
you got to have some control over like what's going on, but still like you just realize like, holy fuck. Like,
turns you into a robot.
Like,
pussy.
It's like,
pussy drone.
Yeah, just, oh, there goes your independence as a young man or woman, you know, like fucking Christ. And, you know, obviously the education problem is a massive one to solve. And there are so many problems with the public school system. There are a lot of problems with the school that we went to as well. Like it wasn't perfect by any means.
Yeah. Like, I want to point out as well, Fitz left school pretty well. Well, great. With like as far as education goes, as far as like formal education, like what it looks like to, you know, a university, I looked like shit. I had basically no qualification when I left, but that was my own fault.
Yeah.
And it was partly because like the government was changing things, and the government didn't really like the school.
They hated
because
the school.
The teachers union wanted the school shut down because they were like, we need more teachers working there.
Yeah.
So they wanted to shut the school down.
They were just kind of scared of it in general, I feel. The teachers council like really just hated this place. Jesus. And they kept like
they kept changing like what you needed weird. To get into uni and stuff like that. And it meant that, you know, by the time I was ready to leave, which was probably a year and a half after Cameron, maybe, because it wasn't like, oh, everyone, you know, you graduated this time. It was like,
it was all based off of your work.
Yeah. I mean, you could theoretically do the entire 3 years of high school in a year.
Wish, man.
Yep.
I
if you
wish. Just,
if you're bright enough and dedicated enough to get in and fucking grind it, you could do that.
But yeah, I didn't leave with much, and I ended up, I mean, I ended up fine, obviously. Yeah. And I went to an animation school and stuff, but
concept.
It wasn't perfect.
But you still gained a lot from the experience.
Oh, I gained so much from it, and I would 100% do it again in every other life I could.
The concept of grades is in like, you know, like year one, you know, year 12, year 11 and all that, like grades in that sense, I think is just weird. You know, you used to be able to skip grades, you know, if you were just like, yeah, I know all this, you know, I've been educated, or, you know, I'm pretty smart. I do all my work quick. And then I sit here doing nothing for the rest of the school day. You know, my public school, there was no grade skimp. There was no surpassing and going through the school system. Everyone was on the same track at the same time, and it was just it held the people back that could have gone forward.
Yeah,
it was. It's not a good way of doing it.
Speaking of grades, I know you meant like grades as in like years.
But grades in ABC.
Speaking of actual grades, like grading papers and stuff, one really cool thing about the correspondence school was if you didn't agree with a grade that you got, you could send it to another person.
Yeah.
So I sent my essay, the same essay I was talking about that I'd worked on for months. I sent it to one person and they failed me. And me and the adults of the school and stuff like, this is bullshit. This is a really good essay. So we just sent it to another correspondence school teacher and I got an excellence, which is the top mark.
That's another thing.
That's insane.
You know, it's all based on opinion. It's not like a robot's grading you.
Yeah, you don't know if that teacher's bitter or is having a bad day. It's, I don't know. Look, like the... Like I thought about it when I was at the school. I was like, man, how can we solve the problem with education? Because clearly there are so many issues with the way that standardized school is. And it's not it's almost an unfathomably impossible problem to solve because there's so many kids and it's so ingrained that you go to this school, you go to this school, and then you go to college. You know what I mean?
Public schools are based around location. You can't choose.
Yeah.
You can't choose where you go.
One of the ideas that I had was like, imagine if it was a school like we had of like 50 kids, like, on every block of a neighborhood. It's like, it would be like neighborhood based, but that's like an impossible thing to implement. Yeah. And you don't know how could everyone get on board with that idea? It's so crazy and absurd.
You know, 50 kids at a time in a space.
Like, and one thing is that like, you know, a parent is like, I did this school system and it worked for me, you know, 50 years ago. I'm successful now. Yeah. Of course I want my kid to do the same thing.
And there are kids who do thrive in the regular school system.
Sure.
You know, and plenty of people just go through and they're kind of average and they're fine, you know, but, you know, there are definitely issues that would be better in society, would be better as a whole if they were like didn't exist.
Right.
So I don't know. It's, I don't know.
It's also detached. It's also, like, it's not, it just doesn't feel like you're making human connection in school. It's always like, oh, we're prisoners here and we're together as prisoners. You know, fuck school, you know, fuck homework.
Yeah, like the school system hasn't changed since it was implemented to educate people to work in factories.
Yeah, that's kind of what they say.
It was
the whole
industrial revolution, and it was like, let's intentionally make
American,
this boring.
Like, classroom layout is designed for that.
Yeah.
The whole, like, what were you saying?
To make people get used to just having to do the same
thing.
Yeah,
the whole factory worker. Yeah, it was based on that layout and shit.
It's designed to accustom kids to monotony. And obviously it's changed. It's a bit better than it was back then.
Sure, of course.
But it's still the same basic concept.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's very odd. And it's a very difficult... I don't know if it will ever change. It will get better probably and probably get a bit more open and free, I would hope.
Give it 50 years, I think, maybe.
Who the fuck knows,
it's
dude?
It's weird so hearing crazy. About all this because I went to a similar sort of thing when I was in year 8. I don't know how old that is and what grade that is.
It's like 12?
Yeah, yeah. I was like 12 years old, and I went to this, like, it was recommended by someone because there was just, like, I moved to this town and we had no idea where to go. So I just went to this specific thing because my mom was like, oh yeah, we'll give this a go. And it was like pretty much like what you guys were explaining, but just completely backwards. It was like, it was so bad.
It was a concentration camp.
It was terrible. It was like a really religious.
When you combine a school like ours,
really religious school.
When you combine a school like ours with religion, it just sounds like a bad idea. It's immediately, it's like cult.
That was literally what it was like. It was crazy, and nothing worked. And it turns out like the principal of that school was just doing some shady, shady shit. Mm. It was just...
And it was called Sunnydale.
It was so bad.
Bad.
Awkward. So I'm just like, I was listening to all that and I was like, ow. It could have changed me as a person if it had been like...
And to all the listeners, like, it probably does sound really odd and we might get a bit of shit for this. Like, oh, you guys went to a weird fucking school.
It doesn't matter what we say. People are going to assume it's a special school.
Can say is that, like... You know, it fucking worked wonders. It changed both of our lives.
I would have rather gone to that school than mine.
Think about it from this perspective.
Making me jealous.
Think about it from this perspective. There was 50 kids when we were there. And there was probably 12, 15 kids over the age of like 12.
Yeah, like 20 max. No, over 12 there would have been like, 20 to probably 20.
And there's two YouTubers.
I mean, obviously some luck involved with that, but
that's ridiculous. But yeah.
I mean, you know,
I mean, you're like, oh, I mean, stats are stats. So
either if you, even
stats.
Even if YouTube didn't work out, I felt very well equipped for life leaving the place, you know.
Yeah.
I felt like I could, I just learned a lot of skills, especially socially. I think that
was
just
hard to leave, like, would bond like so much with all the people.
He still visits the school.
Yeah, whenever I go home, I go for a visit.
Really?
And
holy shit.
The principal's still there. She's a crazy old lady, but I love her.
The principal hates me.
Wait, really?
She loved me, and then I left.
She doesn't hate you. She just...
Your heart.
It was just a complicated situation.
Basically, like, long story short, she thinks that I made people leave the school, but I didn't.
Oof.
She thinks that I was the reason for some of the people leaving early.
Yeah.
And because of that, she, like, didn't... Like, the people used to tell me, yeah, she was talking shit about you today.
Which is the problem with a tight community like that. It's like when drama happens, like, it's, you know, it impacts
on everybody.
It's on everyone. It impacts the whole thing as a whole. Not that there was really any drama with you. I think it was more just, you know, just a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's life. That happens in life. And you got to learn to fucking deal with that.
Especially when she was an old woman.
She's crazy, dude. She's absolutely batshit, but she's the most lovable batty lady.
Yeah. Yeah. She had some crazy opinions, but then she also was like a genius in other ways.
We should dismantle the government.
I mean, she was like, you know, she was in her 20s in the 60s, so she was very much like counterculture, you know, kind of lady.
Just lit.
Yeah.
That's which, awesome. Batshit, were they?
Which make, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Let's organize it. Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen.
Let's get her on the podcast.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're over an hour. We can keep talking if you want, but do you have any other questions to close it out? Or
what was the worst experience you had? Like the worst day, maybe like the worst interaction?
For me, I didn't, there's nothing that I would say that was negative, like long-term, that really, that affected me in any way. Like negative things was like, I had a falling out with a friend, but that would always get resolved.
Right.
And that was actually really valuable that I had those experiences. Cause like it taught me like, oh, you can actually talk to your friends about important shit and work shit out, which you were forced to do because you're going to see him every day. It's like you can avoid him in the halls.
Worst experience for me was when we were playing poker and one of my friends, bastard, he rivered an ace.
We played a lot of poker.
Yeah, like a lot of poker, like every day.
What was the relationship with technology in the school?
That's one thing that the school suffered for. So like if you were in a science technology and things like that, you were probably better off at a different school because this place,
you'd have to learn at home.
It lacked funding. It lacked the scale of a regular school and like the resources.
Like, no, like chemistry labs.
Chemistry,
like
you couldn't.
I just mean in terms of iPhones, iPads, you know, like people.
You worked on laptops.
Right.
Generally, it was like, don't use your phone at school. Like, if you were, you could do it secretly.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Because like, there was one thing that was a big thing was they didn't want people using their phones because they didn't want people taking photos of the kids.
Yeah, which makes sense. Like, if you've got young kids, you don't want people with their phones out because they could be videoing or recording or doing anything.
Yeah.
So it was no phones, but you worked on laptops and you, when you had to do work, you asked for a laptop, they gave you the laptop and you gave it back like when you were done.
Fitz was talking about how, you know, it wasn't a great school if you're into science and stuff, which is probably true. Well, is true.
You could learn like biology, but anything practical with physical chemistry,
actually,
like
actually
have the resources.
Doing a lab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there was one kid at the school who was probably my age, maybe a year younger than me, who was really into technology and really into rebuilding and rebuilding stuff and coding and learning about technology and stuff.
Yeah.
And the principal gave him an area in the school where he could rebuild technology and stuff. And he just
and he now repairs dental equipment and makes fucking stacks.
Yeah, he had a space where he would bring in a computer and he would build it and do all the stuff and then, you know, he'd take it home. Uh-huh. And so there was just this area. We called it the round the back area, which is where we would hang out sometimes. And you just go in there and there'd be like record players and just a bunch of different shit all dismantled in this little cordoned off the area.
They just like adapted to everything.
More, as much as they could.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like obviously there were limited resources.
Yeah.
You could use the sports. Work. Terrible school for you.
Sports, terrible for you. Music, terrible for you. There were guitars.
We had no compulsory sporting things or anything as well.
Do they like accept donations? How do they get funding?
Funding was purely through enroll. So it was a private school.
It wasn't cheap.
So you can't donate to it at all in any capacity?
I guess you could.
If you wanted to.
But there wasn't like a page or anything like that, you know?
It would have been, you would have to go in and say, hey, I want to donate, and they'd be like.
It was primarily just through funding from, I think they got a bit of funding from the government, but not very much.
Yeah, and the rest, a tiny amount of funding per pupil. Yeah.
The rest was just admissions, which was expensive compared to a regular school. But not in the way that makes it
crazy
like
crazy expensive.
Not in the way that makes it like a fancy private school. It was very much the opposite of a fancy private school. This place was like run down, like, well, not run down, but you know, it's like a homely place. It's not like a fucking polished marble private school. You know what I mean?
I do want to mention one really cool thing we had.
This place is so fucking weird
one
to talk about.
One really cool thing we had was there was an area, a pretty decently sized area, filled with cheap mattresses.
Yes.
Yeah.
That you could just run and do flips and stuff on, or
so what? Yeah. So there was this. There were maybe 100 mattresses, like thin, not like big ones, but like thin,
like semi-thick ones, but just foam mattresses.
So they're just like lining the walls and shit like that.
Yeah. So there was
you
like
could
a
do whatever you could. Like form it however you want. Like
it was the
build
best. If you're
stuff.
A little kid,
the fuck, wait, were they just like, oh, we can't afford a jungle gym. Let's just throw a bunch of mattresses in
the
room.
No, I mean the kids would play fight on them and stuff.
So like imagine there's a corner of an office building, a sizable corner. And around the edges where the windows are, there are like metal rungs that go up the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And the floor is covered in mattresses. There are mattresses like spare, so you can like stack them into massive. So one of the popular things with the kids was they'd stack them into massive towers, climb up the rungs onto the top, and then fall over on like topple the tower onto the mattresses, which was just the most fun thing to do. And another thing was like the kids would make these insane forts out of mattresses
really
with like tunnels and like, oh dude,
like
if you're a kid, it was the best place to
sometimes
be.
Sometimes after
hell.
Work, you'd walk in and see like the mattress area, you'd be like, what is this? And you'd just start crawling into this tunnel and it'd just be this huge tunnel system that the kids had built.
Yeah, and some fucking 8-year-old sometimes would be like, what's the password? You'd be like, fuck you, I'm older than you.
Sometimes they'd even have like 2-story ones. It was wild.
No, it was crazy shit. It was, and you know, all of that.
Making me jealous, man, honestly. Dang, and I wish I went to this school.
As a kid, when you're playing, you're like, everything you're learning through that, you're learning how to interact with people. You're learning how to like negotiate, how to, you know, settle disagreements with your peers, and all in the like in the stage of this like hilarious mattress filled fucking adventure. It's like,
I remember there was one time the kids just like created this currency.
Yeah.
They didn't really mean anything,
what?
But they created this currency
like
and
society.
They made it, I don't remember. It was like
literally
it was like pineapple dollars or something.
Yeah,
pineapple
retarded,
and it was like the pineapple club. And they would have a set amount of money that they would give to each person, and you could spend your money, but they would never make more.
Yeah.
And they like learned about economy and stuff through it. It was crazy.
Oh my God.
Trade toys and shit.
And this wasn't like something that the adults started. They all started it themselves and they kept it going themselves.
And there were major disagreements about this, and like, you know, they would run to the adults and be like, he stole my fucking money or whatever the hell happened. And then the adult would be like, okay, the adults would take it seriously. But all right, well, you know, make sure that, you know, you're doing the right thing.
We're gonna and play along and take it right. Seriously. Yeah. It was really cool.
Because it's all, they're doing that because it's like, these are normal skills to learn as a human being, mm-hmm. right? Like it's normal to, it's like why kids play house. It's yeah. actually important that they do that because they learn how to, the structure of a family. They learn the structure of like a society.
That's insane.
Crazy shit. Anyway, we'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
If you want to hear more about that sometime, we might do a follow up. If the audience has any questions, maybe we could do an audience Q&A. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Either way, we hope you enjoyed hearing about our fucking strange childhood.
Thank you to Burrow for sponsoring the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Remember, burrow.com/misfit.
Without an S.
Without an S.
Very important.
And use code MISFITS on GamerSups to try out the product that we've been using for ages.
Hell yeah. Yeah, cool. Follow us on Twitter @MISFITS, Instagram @MISFITS. We're the Misfits. We'll see you next time with more Misfits. Bye, guys.
Bye.
I'm pushing fucking rust.
Get the bags.
These guys, all they do is talk about gaming.